It's going to be stirring up our gift. It's going to be a look at Peter's life. That's going to be the ups and downs of Peter's life and his gift. But before we start that, Mom's going to bring me something to drink. It's nice having a Canadian bring me some hot tea. Mm-hmm. They know a little bit about tea.
Disgusting.
Okay. Well, can you guys see any steam coming out of it?
Yeah.
It's pretty hot. Can the camera get in that?
You see? Put your Bible up behind it.
Oh. How about that?
There you go.
Oh, okay. You guys see that? Yep. Steam is a manifestation of heat. Our life is but a vapor, like the steam of this cup. How long is this steam going to last? Even to have this prop at the beginning of this, I had to try to time it. I didn't do a very good job with my mom to bring in something hot, because that steam is going to be gone. And it's a manifestation of a fresh cup of coffee. It's a manifestation of a nice cup of tea. That's your life. And Yahweh said, it's already disappearing. Right there, you're going to say, what are you going to do with your life? And we all have forever a life age of body, get to reflect on that life. And so when he corrects us, sometimes we feel like he's picking on us, and it's just like a father going, you're going to really regret this. I love you. Here's a kid getting ready to drop out of high school or wash out of basic or something. Like, here's Rachel. Rachel went through twice, and she got through it. You're going to go, man, she met her husband. And if we can look at that life, and you're going to go, man, I'm glad you didn't give up. We should be looking at our whole life and our ministry just like that vapor. And there's a country song, Don't Blink. And when we're looking at our life, holding on to what we have, holding on to the lust of our flesh, I deserve this. I've had that where I've been given so much, all of a sudden, I deserve this, I deserve that. That's when we need to take an out-of-body experience and smack myself right in the face. It's not about what you deserve. It's about each day you've been given a cup of steam. What are you going to do with it? Tomorrow's not promised. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know in the last time you're going to get to give your mother or your father or Father's Day, do you? Not that we should live in fear. But Yahweh doesn't want us to live in regret either. Today's guy's 49th birthday. Going to go, okay, we should live each day as if it's our last one, not in fear, but in going, man, in selflessness as Christ did. What was Christ able to endure because of that? He endured the death of the cross. How? The joy that was set before him. And today, this morning, before going to the teaching, I was wanting to get into the office so quickly because I wanted to go hear Dad prophesy over my day before I taught. And I kept wanting to go to the office, and things kept... I couldn't get in the office, no matter what happened. This would pop up, and that would pop up, and that would pop up. And hindsight's 20/20, but now I know that it was Yahweh was delaying me to get to the office, because the longer I was away from the office, you know, I was listening to Word of Faith radio. So I was kind of killing time, and might as well be listening to radio. And it's garbage, bingo, and hearing these things. And it got to the point where all of a sudden I got a word of knowledge, wash my car before I go into the office. I'm like, that is not fitting the agenda to getting to the office as fast as I can.
Been there.
Should I do it? And all of a sudden I was like, what is this thing? But it wasn't fear. It wasn't this impulse. It was just this thing. I'm telling you, you call me moving Lord. What is it? And I'm thinking, what is this new thing? And it's never really clear. You just kind of a hunch. And I went, I'll go wash my car. Anyways, I'll go wash the car. And as I get out of the car, it's all wet. And if I wanted to be a good steward of what Yahweh has given to me in Christ, I dry it off because it gets streaks everywhere. I wanted him to be proud of everything he gave to me. And I'm not projecting what you guys should do with your stuff. I know what I need to do if I knew he was watching. I know what I would be acting like. You might act different. Me, I'd be drying it up. So I get out of the car wash, and I'm like, maybe I should dry up. In my mind, this was not malice. My mind goes, are you kidding me? You're going to dry it off? You're supposed to be in the office an hour ago. And I sat there, and I went, I don't have time for this. And my windshield wiper went flying off. And I freak out. And without thinking, I went to throw my car in park while I'm driving. That's not what you do. But it, thank God, I think it compensated. It went into neutral. And my windshield wiper was doing this. And I'm afraid it's going to scratch it. And my car revved up. And I'm in neutral. And I went, is that you? And then, all right, maybe that's him. So and so I pulled over. I put my windshield wiper back on. I dried the car, got back in, and I'm listening to the radio. Oh, that's garbage. Then boom, boom, boom. I got two or three things out of it. Thank you for knocking my windshield wiper off. Thank you for compensating that it didn't go into park. I know about cars. You don't throw it into park when you're going 5 miles an hour. You blow out your torque converter or whatever, your transmission. But I'm sitting there, Jesus Christ, and y'all are going, man, he's really pushing. I'm sick of compensating. Have you guys ever did it? Were you just forced something?
Yep.
And finally, you got it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, man. I stuck my head through one, you film up there. I did it once at Nadia Pops with my grandparents. My head was skinny enough I could barely get through. I was like, I bet you I could do it. I got it! Yeah! It was stuck. And you can imagine Jesus Christ and our guardian angels going, man, I should be getting paid more for this. Look at this. This guy's not going to make it.
But anyways, the story
and the testimony tonight is the ups and downs. And for you and for me to lighten up. And then every once in a while, your windshield wipers, you know, what are the odds? When I put the windshield wiper blade on, it would pop right back on. I haven't had any problem with it either. I believe my messenger, Jesus Christ, would knock the wheels off him. Somebody stop Aaron. And all the way in the gym, the part of it was, the teacher went on to say, he endured the death of the cross, or the glory that, or the joy that was set before him. Christ endured this life, how? He understood the vapor, and he focused on the rewards, the glory and the joy. And he shame despising. Have you ever been treated shamefully? You were obedient, and you look like you were the prostitute, or you look like you were the adulterer. You were the obedient one. You're the Antichrist. I'm the Antichrist. I got one God, you have three?
Yeah.
And I'm the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. What? You mean if I say Yahweh's name, I'm thrown out? You ever feel that way? We go through that. But there's a difference. We go, look, it's up to us. This whole life is up to us. How bad do you want it? But if you're focusing on the rewards, then it will be worth it. And you can despise the shame. It's okay to despise it. Actually look at it and go, sometimes you're going to get called some horrible things. You're going to get abandoned. And if you want to take some encouragement, look at Jeremiah's life. And think about Jeremiah. What kind of reward is Jeremiah going to get in paradise? Or be the third heaven or the new heaven and earth? Golly, talking about somebody that's going to be rewarded. Okay, then we look at those things. But this is going to be on Peter. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, page 3. So we're just going to be in the gospel called Matthew. It's not the gospel of Matthew. Not his recollection. It's going to stir up your gift, and sometimes your gift's going to look way up here, and sometimes you're going to be down there all by yourself. And you know who usually your worst enemy is going to be?
You.
And so, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Nothing. So if I'm walking in light, as he is in the light, does Satan get to talk to me? There is just one exception. We know about Jesus Christ in the wilderness, and so there might be some little thing in there, but as far as we know, Satan didn't get there. So who is this adversary? His name's Adam. The DNA of Adam. I heard a teaching once. This guy said, you know, at the resurrection, everybody got their rewards, and we get to go into the new heaven and earth. And everybody's walking around. There's King David. He's got his own skyscraper and jetliners flying on top of. Who's that? Oh, that's King David. Wow, who's that over there? Oh, that's Jonah. Golly, he lives in a weird house, and they keep walking along. Who's that over there? Well, that's Isaiah. Okay. And they look, and as they're looking out, doing a tour of the new heaven and new earth, they see this group of people, a mob, getting ready to beat somebody up. He keeps looking over there. It looks like there's a mob over there. There's not supposed to be death or pain or anything. And anyways, they keep walking. Who's that over here? Oh, okay, there's Moses' place. Okay, there's Makiel's adept. Well, that's neat. And looking at all these high rises. And finally he goes, hey, what's going on over here? I think he, and the angel of words, Sean goes, what do you mean? He goes, it looks like some guy's getting ready to get beat up. And he went, oh, you're talking about all the people that are trying to get to the guy that's climbed up the tree, aren't you? You're like, that's Adam. These people wanted to have a talk with him. And you're going to go, okay, we have an old man of silence. You're going to kill it. And your worst enemy, a lot of the times, is going to be your own brain. Chapter 8, verse 14. Would somebody read that?
8?
Sorry, chapter 4, verse 18. Sorry. Would somebody please read that?
I will.
Okay.
And walking around beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a large fishing net into the sea, for they were fishers.
Now turn to chapter 8, verse 14. I'll kind of read. So here's the beginning of the ministry. This is a Capernaum. This is where Peter lived. This is where Jesus Christ lived, or Yehoshua Mashiach. And if you just look at that, it looks like Peter just left everything. No, Peter would have known Jesus Christ lived in the same town. They lived on the same lake. He would have known this guy, who this person is. Okay, so here's a carpenter's coming along, so there was a relationship. It wasn't just something out of the blue. Come with me. Come follow me. 8 verse 14. Would somebody read that, please?
I will. And Jesus, coming into the house of Peter, saw his mother-in-law laid prostrate in the fever.
And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and began ministering unto him. E.W. Bolger had a neat note on this. E.W. Bolger said here, he believes that Jesus Christ abode with Peter in this house. We don't know about Peter's family. We do know he has a mother-in-law. Can you imagine Peter? Let's just say Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, did spend the night. Right? Especially back then, when we were in Kenya and some of the stuff, it was a lot different than here. The women did almost all the cooking and stuff. And so, and here's Jesus, it could have been Jesus Christ and Peter coming there, and she needs to be healed, but who's going to make the sandwiches? And what is the first thing she does once she gets healed? She gets up, starts cleaning, getting things taken care of. Can you imagine Peter later on after the resurrection walking by his house and having the memory of Christ in his house? Isn't that neat? Yeah. It says later on, it says when they were in the house, forget which gospel, and it literally means in Jesus Christ's house when they're alone a paralytic. Here's Peter walking along and saying, that's his house. Wouldn't that set? Wouldn't that be neat? Peter's 90 years old. Walk along. I know that house. What's so special about that house? Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about the carpenter lived in it. And this relationship. So he calls him and early on. I want to make you a fisher of men. Okay. And he heals his mother-in-law. He's taking care of his... now we turn to chapter 14, verse 22. And hopefully, as I'm trying to take a glimpse at Peter's life of reflection in his life, you feel encouraged either during or after this teaching to reflect on your own life, what Christ has done in your life, the stories he's been with you and through you, where he was so faithful. There's times that I felt I was abandoned, and I cursed him, and I cursed Yahweh, maybe not literally. You ever want to know what's inside your heart? Wait till something goes wrong and see how quickly you start blaming people. And then I find out that it wasn't him, it was me, or I missed it. But reflect on your own life, how he's been there, ups and downs and ups and downs. Chapter 14, verse 22-32. If somebody would read that, an adult, please. And what we're going to be looking at is Peter speaking up. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Okay? And even when I say bad, I just say maybe it's not. I think Peter's heart... As always, he's the real deal. But just because somebody's heart is right doesn't mean they're right. Is that right? Okay. Okay, so David's heart was right when they were carrying the ark on the cart. But, okay, go ahead, Mom.
And straightway constrained he the disciples to enter into a boat and be going before him unto the other side while he dismissed the multitudes. And dismissing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening came, alone was he there. Now, the boat still had many furlongs from the land, was holding off, being distressed by the waves. For the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, He came unto them walking upon the sea. And the disciples, seeing him upon the lake walking, were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And by reason of their fear, they cried out. And straightway, Yahushua spake unto them, saying, take courage, it's I, be not afraid. And making an answer, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And descending from the boat, Peter walked upon the waters and came unto Yahushua.
The disciples go, are you kidding me? He's getting out of the boat. He's doing it. Who is Peter comparing himself to? Who said that? Speak it up. What did you say?
Yahushua?
Yeah. Was he comparing himself to the other disciples in the boat that were getting ready to drown?
No.
No? Who are you comparing yourself to? And Peter, man, he's a neat guy. And you know, there's ups and downs, but man, this guy's hard. And what was he doing? He goes, if it is you, let me come on the water too. How many people walked on the water?
That's right.
That's it. How about all the rest of those guys in the boat? Well, at least you tried. All the rest of their life going, I missed it. Could have been me. James and John were out there. Could have been Judas. Missed your moment. Missed your thing. And all of us have been there where we missed it. And I believe Dad did a teaching once. He goes, in this case, he believes that there are opportunities that were popping up and popping up. And yet all of us have been there where we missed an opportunity to raise your hand to go do something exciting. And what Dad did in teaching, he goes, he believed that Peter was convinced, the next opportunity that I have, I'm volunteering. I said, that makes great sense. And every time I read that, it always should be that. And if we miss an opportunity, get down on your knees and say, please send it back. All of us have had that we're supposed to witness to somebody, and now they're gone, and I chickened out. Get down on your knees and say, please send it back. Or give them a flat tire or something. You know, who would compensate? But here's Peter. What did he do? He spoke up. He got back in the boat, you can imagine. And Jesus Christ said, you have little faith when he saw it, but he said, they came back. And I believe that they walked back together. Who else did that? What did Peter do? He spoke up. 16 verse 13 through 20.
What?
Verse 13. Yeah, Mel, would you read?
13 through 20?
Yeah.
And Yahushua coming into the parts of Caesarea, Philip began questioning his disciples, saying, who are men saying that the Son of Man is? And they said, some indeed, John the Immerser, and others Elijah, but others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but who saith ye that I am? And Simon Peter, answering, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yahushua answering, said unto him, happy art thou, Simon Bar-Yana, because flesh and blood revealed it not unto thee, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I also unto thee say, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
You can read the footnote down at the bottom, B. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this is where the Catholic tradition is going to say Peter was supposed to be, all this was built on. But if you read down here in the note, Mom, would you read that, please?
Thou art a piece of rock, and on this rock.
So thou art Petros, but on this Petra. So there's two different words. But still, who spoke up?
Peter
did. Can you imagine? Have you ever gotten an answer right in class? Very good. You're like, all right. And so not only did he get the answer right, you always said, my Father's the one that told you that. And you're like, okay, he spoke up. Verse 21 through 23. Let's see here. Okay, so do you think Peter's feeling pretty good right about that? Yeah. Who walked on water?
Peter.
Who spoke up? Peter. Who here? And here's Jesus Christ is coming to be the Messiah. He's running to be the Messiah. I'm the Messiah, the son of the second Adam. Who do people say I am? Well, some people say you're Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And they're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, how depressing that must have felt. You know, golly, that's it. That's what the polls say. And then Peter goes, you're the Mashiach. Do you think, how much do you think Jesus Christ needed to hear that? And he looks and he goes, Peter, God, Peter, man. Verse 21 through 23. Israel, would you read that?
From that time began Yahushua, the Messiah, to be pointing out to his disciples that he must needs into Jerusalem go away, and many things suffering from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain, and on the third day rise again. And taking him aside, Peter began to rebuke him, saying, Mercy on thee, Master, in no wise shall they befall thee. But he, turning, said to Peter, Withdraw behind me, Satan, a snare art thou of mine, if thou art not regarding the things of Yahweh, but the things of men.
So right there, you're going to say Satan is not a proper noun. I think it's a slander. What is Satan? Satan?
Means adversary.
Your adversary. So he was an adversary. So what's happening here is Yehoshua was talking about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And Peter is basically saying, you don't have to suffer to get the kingdom. And he goes, no, that's what Satan said. Well, during the temptation, the 40 days, Satan goes, hey, I'll give you all this stuff. You don't have to suffer like Isaiah. Just get down, I'll give it to you. And Peter, not knowingly, he speaks up. So how do you think he feels after that? He calls him Satan. Or adversary in front of all the disciples. How would you like to raise your hand in class after that?
Yeah.
No, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I know that. And so you're going to school now. How do you feel like raising your hand? You don't like it. Most people don't like it. You're going to say you feel very uncomfortable. And then when I raise my hand, I feel dumb because I feel like everybody else knows. And what you'll find out is most of the time everybody else is just afraid to raise their hand. And we'll find out that's what Peter was doing. And he speaks up again. And how many other people after that would have kept their mouth shut? He hurt my feelings. He said that in front of everybody. And that's what Judas did later on. I'm going to go, okay, but what does Peter do? Man, what is his heart? Chapter 17, 1 through 3. Would somebody please read that?
I will. After 6 days, Christ takes with him Peter and James and John his brother, and brings them up into the high mountain park. It would transform.
Okay, we'll pause there for just a second. So there's this roller coaster. Peter's walking on water. Golly! You know, can you imagine how many times Yehoshua had to go back to go, what do you mean you can't do it? You walked on water, man. You spoke in tongues. You spoke a language you never learned before. You still can. Pretty neat, isn't it? All right. Then Peter's down. He called me Satan. Oh man, I'm just not doing too good. I don't think I'm ever going to get promoted again. But he's back up and he's down. And then right here, what's Jesus Christ going to do? It's going to be transfigured is actually the Greek word here. Jesus Christ is basically, in my opinion, going to take 3 of the 12 to go meet man upstairs. You'll see why I say that here just in a second. Why the 3? You'll see over and over again, 3 out of the 12. You 3 come with me. Is that how you make friends? Teacher's pet. The 3 go walking off again. Can you imagine them going, why do they get to go? You're going to find out what Peter, James, and John were doing most? Opening their mouth, asking questions, comparing themselves with Christ, now with them around them. And here the 3 get to go up, and you can imagine here's Jesus Christ. He's led by the Ruach. He only does what his father tells him to do. He only says what his father tells him to do. And he's going to go up on the mountain. And in my opinion, here's Jesus Christ going to introduce the 3 to Dad. Come on up. Remember Moses went up Mount Sinai? Guys, this could be great. Moses went up Mount Sinai. You know, they're going to go up. So what's going to have verse? Go back to verse 2 and read.
Okay. We transformed before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And lo, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah concerning him.
Verse 7.
And so we'll pause right there for a second. And so they get to be transformed. What happened? Yehoshua just told them how he's going to be suffering. Peter had a problem. They didn't understand it. There are two messiahs that are prophesied. The lion and the lamb. There's a lion that's coming, there's a lamb that's going to be suffering. So the suffering was always, they had a hard time with it. It wasn't clear, it's easy for us to look backwards, but here they are after the suffering, they get to see them resurrected in their resurrected body. Here they are getting to see, who is it? Elijah, Moses, and Yehoshua in his resurrected body. How cool is that? And this is going to really encourage him afterwards. So what happens after this? Verse 4? Isaiah, would you read that?
Yeah. And Peter answering said with him.
So Peter interrupts. They're having a conversation. Peter's going to interrupt the conversation of this vision. So go ahead.
And Peter answering said to you, Lord, is it delightful for us to be here? If thou wilt, I take for thee three tents, for thee one, and for Moses one, and for Elijah one.
Can you imagine James and John going, dude, shut up, man, shut up. Can you imagine being taken into the Oval Office and somebody just starts bursting in? Here's Mike Pompeo and here's Mike Pence and here's Donald Trump having a conversation. Come on in, Isaiah. You three, come on in. And all of a sudden, Melania starts going, hi, how are you guys doing? Like, shut up. Peter starts talking. He's just speaking. Maybe he's a nervous talker. He speaks up. And what's going to happen next? Okay, go ahead.
While yet he was speaking, lo, a brightly shining cloud overshadowed them. Lo, a voice of the cloud saying, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I delight, to be hearkening unto him.
So the Father, Yahweh, goes, be quiet. This is my son. So they did go up to a mountain. They did hear from Yahweh, just like Moses. But can you imagine the trembling? Oh my goodness. And you can imagine right after that, a lot of people believe this part was removed from the text, but Yahweh looks over to Jesus Christ and went, are you sure about Peter? Change the job, okay, but this guy, are you sure about him? Jesus Christ is like, trust me, Dan, I picked this guy. He's going to be a good one. That guy. Okay, all right. Anyways, what happens next? They're down in face. Anyways, what's going to happen next? In 7 verse 9, and I'll read it. And Jesus Christ came up and said, Peter, you embarrassed me in front of my dad. Now, Jesus came near and touched him and said, arise, be not afraid. And lift up your eyes. No one saw they, save Yehoshua himself alone. And you're going to say, man, in verse 9. And as they were coming down out of the mountain, Yehoshua commanded them, saying, unto no one may ye tell the
vision.
It was a vision. They saw a vision of the resurrection. Here it goes. I can imagine, I'm just like Peter. I got a mouth I kick. I'm not in control very often. I can imagine James and John going, I got a feeling. The next time Jesus Christ picks three, Peter's not going to beat it. It might be somebody else. This guy's all over the place. So you can imagine there's good times he spoke up, then there's a bad time. And I got called Satan. Then I get reproved by Yahweh in front of his son, in front of a vision of Moses and James and John. They're like, man, this doesn't look so good. But Yahushua's like, come on, man. Come on. There's going to be times you're going to be doing it. You can imagine if you put yourself in Peter's place, how would you be feeling? Would you have some emotional problems? I'm just going to quit. Or can you imagine what's going through his head? And here's Yahushua going, it's all right, man. Come on. Let's get going. Okay. So remember, Yahweh looks upon our heart. Let me see here. Return to chapter 17, verse 24.
What chapter?
Chapter 17, verse 24. It's neat right here. You can imagine how many other people would have kept their mouth shut. Have you ever been embarrassed in front of a whole church or something? You're like, that's it. That's the last time I ever volunteer ever again. I had that, or I read and I stumbled and people started giggling. I'd be like, that's it. I will never read it. Bible study. Oh, how selfless of you, Aaron. You got embarrassed and now you're never going to be obedient again. What was Peter like? Man. Peter wasn't comparing himself with those that are around him. Peter wasn't comparing himself with himself. Peter was comparing himself with his hero, Yehoshua. If it made the boss happy, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. He was a real deal. And that's what we should be looking at. He made mistakes. We will make mistakes. And here's Jesus Christ through his life, up and down, going, come on, man. He didn't get fired, at least in Peter's life, in these things. And the same way with us, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. Just confess it, get over it, ask for another shot. Here's Peter's life. And here, after this, and I would like to compare myself to Peter, but I'm not Peter yet. I mean, I'd be kidding myself. But if I was Peter, I would probably keep my mouth shut after this. But verse 24, and when they came to Capernaum, they who the half shekel were receiving came near unto Peter and said, your teacher doth not Who do they go to? Obviously, there's the leader. You can watch any kind of group of people, who the leader is. He's probably talking, telling people what to do. He might be arguing. But who do they go to? They went to Peter. And I imagine that this guy just stood out. He was a leader, like a captain, like a general. A general, the type of person who's a general, probably wherever they go, you're going to notice them. They're going to stick out. They're not like other people. Then I believe this was Peter. Did he become more timid? Well, it would appear that they knew exactly who to go to collect the taxes from. Would somebody read the next part? 25 through 27.
He said, "Yea, in coming unto the house, Yehoshua anticipated him, saying, How to thee doth it seem, Simon? The kings of the earth, of whom receive they dues or tax? For the sons or from the aliens?" And he said, "From the aliens." Yehoshua said unto him, "Well then, free are the sons, but that we may not cause them to stumble. Go unto the sea and cast in a hook, and the first fish that cometh up, take it open its mouth, and thou shalt find a shekel in the take, then that take and give it to them for me and thee."
Man, what a neat picture of this. Here's you. Who do they go to? The leader. They went right to Peter. Is Peter worried about being embarrassed? Sure doesn't look like it. And can you imagine, here's Yehoshua. Here comes my man. Here comes my man. Here comes Peter. Sir? Yeah. Can you imagine, you're going to go talk to the Messiah about paying taxes? Don't you know who he is? Hey, somebody's got to talk to him. And here's this leader, and Yehoshua comes in and goes, "Who should we pay? Or who should pay this? Should be the sons or the aliens?" What does he do? He speaks up. "The aliens. You're right." That's great. A word of promise. You know, he's laughing at this. Goes, "But we don't stumble. You go and pay." Who did it? Who cast the hook in? Peter. Why was he chosen out of those three? Peter wanted it. Do you want it? And all of us, we're not going to want it at times. That's when we got to go, wait a minute. All life is but a vapor. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about a year from now. Don't think about 10 years from now. Fight for him today. I think about President Trump right now. What is he looking for? Consistency. People he can trust. And look at Mike Pompeo. Look at this guy. Do you think when he graduated first at West Point, he'd have any idea that he'd be going to Kim Jong-un of North Korea to bring people back? Do you think he had any idea? He's a believer, and I believe that Christ was inside him going, "You do this. Man, second place sounds really good right now. You do this." And here's his resume, first place. Do you think when President Trump's looking for somebody, they go, "This guy's first point, he graduated first at West Point. Who is this guy?" I guarantee you, North Korea knew that this guy graduated first at West Point, too. That's a heck of a resume. What kind of resume are you building daily that Yahweh's going to have you fall back on? Gonna go, here's Peter just speaking up. He speaks up. He's up. He's down. He's speaking. He's speaking. Verse 18. On a side note, in that hour came the disciples unto Yehoshua, and they said, "Who's going to be the greatest?" And what did he do? Did he reprove them? No. This is about a kingdom. It's about sacrifice. Jesus Christ endured the death of the cross for the glory that was set before him. And he just redirected them. But as far as we know, right here, through what Yahweh recorded through the people who penned the Gospels, who wanted it more than anybody else out of the 12?
Peter.
And James and John. Because Peter, James and John, we think about James and John. Here's James and John. They were taken. Why are they always picked? You can imagine other people. There's going to be times your brother or your sister is going to elevate past you. And you're going to want to not like them. You know what? Love them. Be happy for them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just excel past them. James and John, Jesus Christ goes, "Your mom wants one of you to sit at my left hand and one of you at my right hand. Are you able to drink of this cup?" They went, "Yep." Wait a minute. We're talking about the resurrection. Can you imagine here? Hold on a second. Who's going to be? Let's just say there's a long delay. Who's going to be sitting at the right hand, left hand, and there's a long pause? There we go. Ooh, I got one. How about Moses? Ooh, Moses. How about Abraham? Oh, okay. How about Jonah? Jeremiah. Don't forget about Jeremiah. How about King David? And then Jesus Christ goes, "Are you two able to?" They go, "Yep." Blood for me. You know what he says? You are. He's looking for people who are hungry and who want it. But he goes, it's not up to me. It's up to my Father. James and John wanted it. The sons of thunder wanted it. Peter wanted it. And their life is about ups and downs. And so is your life. So is my life. You'll be your worst critic. I'll have arguments with my critics in my own head. And then Yahweh will be like, who are you arguing with? They're not even in the room. Well, they would say this. I would say this. They're going to go... Go look in the mirror, dude. And then here this thing is. Chapter 19, 23 through 27. Was somebody to read that? Yes, please.
And Yehoshua said unto his disciples...
Is that right there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Yehoshua said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, a rich man with difficulty shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Again I say unto you, easier is it for a camel through the eye of a needle to enter than a rich man into the kingdom of Yahweh. And hearing it, the disciples were being struck with the greatest astonishment, saying, who then can be saved? And looking intently, Yahushua said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible. Then making answer, Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall there be for
who
us?
Who speaks up?
Peter.
Everybody was going, what the... I forget where it is in James. I think it's what the prophet. I think that's in James. If I say that I have love but I don't give people what they want, what the prophet? Everybody's thinking it. Who spoke up?
Peter
did. This life is too short to not ask these questions.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Time out. And guess what? Those rest of the disciples are like, Peter, please ask. Please ask. You do the same thing in classes. That's what we should be doing. You ask. You lead. You raise. This life is too short. You're not going to get another one. And later on, because Peter asked, what happens right down here at the bottom, verse 28? When the Son of Man, the second part, shall take his seat on the throne of glory, you also shall be seated upon 12 thrones. Why? Why did Jesus Christ say that? Peter asked. How much dialogue would not be here if Peter did not ask?
Yeah.
How many illustrations if Peter would have kept his mouth shut? How many opportunities is the body of Christ missing out when you and I are keeping our mouth shut? Life's too short. It's too short. If you're focused on the joy that's before you, going to go, wait a minute. It's the same way with class. If you're in a class, you're going to go, hey, I want to get an A on this test. I'm ignoring them. I got to get this thing in business. I got to get this sale. I'm going to focus on this thing. And we should be doing that each day. And Peter is an excellent example. And how many people benefited just in his own little life right there going, please speak up, Peter. He did. 12 thrones. Can you imagine the relief they got? Jesus Christ, did he know everything he was going to say before he said it? Or did he have to produce faith?
He had to produce it.
I only say what my Father tells me to say. Did Yahweh give him a script to memorize? Or were words coming out of his mouth that could have made him go, wow! Did Jesus Christ marvel? Yeah, the centurion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the unbelief. He marveled. Did he know what was coming out of his mouth? The dialogue that was coming out of Christ's mouth, he's sitting there and all of a sudden it comes out. How much do you think that blessed him to get to tell them 12 thrones? Thank you. That's a good retirement. Let's get to work. And then James and John are like, man, it's going to be really hard not to tell anybody about what we saw. James and John, come here. You can imagine the three of them going, hey, we can talk about this, but they can't talk about that vision, right? Right. Man, how cool is that going to be? We got to hear Yahweh's voice. Yeah, all right. Don't tell anybody, man. You're going to blow it. You're going to get fired and demoted. Chapter 26, verse 37 through 40. Try to speed things up. We're running out of time.
I'm sorry, what verse?
I'll speed it up and I'll kind of wrap things up. But here, in the Garden of Gethsemane, who did Yehoshua take?
Peter.
James and John. Peter, James, and John were teleos apostles. What does teleos mean?
mature believers.
Be making complete. Be perfect. It's a process. Who? Yehoshua, this was not a time of teaching. What does it say right above verse 36? The agony. Who did he take? I need somebody I can lean on. And here's Peter, James, and John. They wanted it more than the rest. They were more concerned on comparing themselves with Christ than with the people that are around. And how did you look at that? You go, man, how did Peter get there? He was up. He was down. He was up. You can imagine other people. Shut your mouth. I don't care what you think. I'm asking. That goes Peter again. I didn't think about it. It wasn't until I got to college that I started raising my hand and really asking questions. I started caring about what my resume was going to look like. I looked like an idiot. I looked like a dummy. But pretty soon I found out that everybody else in the classroom was wondering the same thing. I'm like, oh. I'd ask a question, and then after ask a question, the professor would say this and this and that. I go, oh, okay. Then everybody else goes, oh, okay. I'm like, you're welcome. You know, but I had to learn it. But here's Peter raising his hand, raising his hand. And can you imagine? We'll turn to 2 Timothy, verse 1. I did skip one spot. You guys go ahead and go to 2 Timothy. I'll tell you the 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yehoshua takes Peter to the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to go pray. You guys stay here and be praying for me. Verse 40, he comes unto his disciples and finds them asleep. He said unto who?
Peter.
Obviously, Peter was no wimp. Well, he's always going to pick on me. Call me Satan. Well, there is nothing. What gets up? He goes, man, come on, man. Thus powerless are you? 1 hour? Can't you watch with me? Obviously, Peter was not Yehoshua. But who are we comparing Peter to right here? Yehoshua, right? Wow. I want to be like Christ. And that's perfection. Each day, who are you comparing yourself to? And then we read it. Here's Peter. He's there. Okay. He's still there. And then verse 69. Oh, yeah. Peter also said, I'll die for you. He spoke up. I'm not going to say that was bad or wrong. But Jesus Christ goes, you're going to deny me 3 times. And actually, there's two times. You're going to deny me 3 times twice. So there's 2 occurrences of 3. Can you imagine Peter going, I really would die. Have you ever thought that? You know what you would do. But I really understand. I have that with prophecies every once in a while. I get some information, go, I don't know how this is going to work. And then verse 69, I'll just read this. And Peter was sitting without in the court, and there came unto him a certain female servant saying, can you imagine Peter, me in my mouth? Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes I put my foot right in it. It's a size 9.5 or whatever size of sandal he wore. I'm going to deny him. I'm going to duct tape that sucker shut. I can imagine Peter. Peter's the real thing. Verse 70, but he denied before all, saying, I'm just going to skip down. Verse 69, now Peter was sitting without in the court, and there came unto him a certain female servant, saying, thou art, thus also was with Yehoshua the Galilean, and Peter denied before all, saying, I know not what thou art saying. And when he went out to the court, another female saw him and said unto him, who were there? This one was with Yehoshua the Nazarene, and again he denied with an oath. I know not the man, with an oath. And after a little, the bystanders coming forward said unto Peter, Truly thou also art from the among them, for thy very speech maketh thee manifest. Then began he to be cursing and swearing, I know not the man. And straightway the cock crew. 75, and Peter was put in mind of the declaration of what Yehoshua of his having said, before a cock crow thrice wilt thou utterly deny me. And he actually did that twice. And going forth outside, he wept bitterly. Can you imagine that? What if you denied your mom or your sister in front of everybody? I don't even know who they are. And here Peter's the real thing. You know, talk about being down. 2 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. Is somebody going to read that for me? And whoever is there, 2 Peter 1. That's
right. Timothy, you said Timothy.
I'm sorry, it is Timothy, yeah. That's
verse 1.
Chapter 1, 6 and 7.
For which cause I put thee in remembrance to be stirring up Yahweh's gift of favor, which is in thee through means of the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and correction.
And so here's the Apostle Paul's writing it. Who's actually writing it? It's going to be Yehoshua and Yahweh through the Apostle Paul. Because stir up the gift that's inside you, Timothy. The first leadership epistle of Timothy is all good, 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 great, great, great. The second Timothy is, man, Yahweh did not give you a spirit of cowardice. I don't like that word. I used to be fear, and you go cowardice. But then you read on later on, and he's going to say they're going to heap up teachers. They're going to teach what they want to hear, itching ears, this doctrine and stuff. And how many pastors are going to go, I'm going to lose this whole church. And here's, can you imagine, here's the Apostle Paul writing, getting to write this. Did Paul know what he was going to be writing? Do you know what you're going to be saying when you're prophesying? Then you get done, and you're like, wow. How about the Apostle Paul going, man, stir up the gift and don't be a coward. God didn't give you a spirit of cowardice. You know, you do have a coward living inside you, though. Who is it?
Adam
and Eve. Identify him and nail him to the cross and kill him and strip him off. You're going to go, okay. Then here's Peter, or here's Paul telling Timothy, stir up the gift that is inside you. What is your gift? What is your gift? And especially when you're going through a cowardice and you don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what scriptures. Open your mouth and start witnessing. Stir up. And then what is your gift? What are you good at? And that's what he's telling Timothy to do, or whatever your gifts are. You already know what you're really good at. What was Peter's gift?
Speaking.
He was a real deal. But what was the last thing that came out of his mouth?
Denial.
Man, that hurt. After all that Yehoshua has done for me, I would deny him 6 times? 6 times? No. And we're going to find out, turn to Acts. Actually, John. What? Turn to John chapter 21. So here's Peter. I think it's 118. They go, man. Don't you know you're a shooting star? And Peter sure looked like a shooting star, didn't he? Can you imagine in Peter's mind? Hey, we had a good run though. I walked on water? And knowing Peter, I bet you he didn't even really necessarily care about the water, but the Mount of Transfiguration, casting out demons. I got to see the Mashiach. Here's Peter going, you know what we got to see? I got to see the resurrected Christ and Moses. How many Hebrews would like to see what Moses looked like? Or is going to look like? Wouldn't that be pretty neat? Wow, here this is. And here Peter going to go. Chapter 21, verse 3. This is after the resurrection. Christ has been there for 40 days. He was resurrected. He's been there for 40 days teaching. He leaves. Now, somebody read verse 3.
I will. And Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing.
He opens his mouth.
And they said to him,
we'll stop right there. Where's he going?
Fishing.
Okay, where's it? I can relate. You ever try witnessing or do a Bible teaching? Didn't go so well, I'm never going to do it again. Here's Peter, I tried, man. I couldn't control my stupid mouth or whatever. I'm going fishing. And we go right over here to verse 18, right above it, Peter's restored to his apostleship. That's above verse 15. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter's going, oh my goodness, I'm being singled out in front of all the apostles again. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast younger, thou used to gird thyself and to walk whether thou didst choose. But when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out thy hands, and another shall gird thee and bear thee, whether thou dost not choose. Do you think Peter, when he did that, would probably want, just choose somebody else, baby? Pick somebody. I had a really good run. But Yehoshua wasn't done with him. Verse 19. Now this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And having said this, he said unto him, let's go. Let's get to work. Peter, what was Peter supposed to do? Here's Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, stirring up the gift inside Peter. I'm not done with you, Peter. No, I need that mouth. Not this mouth! This mouth, I even cursed, I did an oath. And he goes, I'm not worried about that, man. You're up, you're down, you're my man. And here's the Apostle Paul did the same thing with Timothy. And who was doing it through the Apostle Paul? It was Jesus Christ going to Timothy. I'm not done with you yet, man. Stir up the gift. And he's doing the same thing with Peter here. I'm not done with you. Get rid of that cowardice thing or whatever it is. Kill your old man. And here's Peter. You can imagine Jesus Christ going back to the right hand. Y'all are going, you sure about this guy? That's your man. Who picked these guys? Well, Jesus did. Well, obviously Yahweh told him who to pick, but you can still imagine going, okay, he's still the one, right? Okay, he's still the one. So Yehoshua right here goes to Peter and goes, Peter, I need your mouth. Not your neck, not your butt. I know your mouth's not perfect, Peter, but it's a perfect work in progress. Peter, I need your mouth. Peter, I need your mouth. Peter, I need your mouth. I know it's not perfect, but it's a perfect work in progress. Now I'm living inside you. Things are changing. There's a new sheriff in town after the resurrection. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, we won't go there. Yehoshua went and stirred up. Can you imagine Peter and Yehoshua on that bank? Be following me. Can you imagine Yehoshua going, just sitting there? Maybe they're sitting on the bench all by themselves. Did Jesus Christ know how to read people's mind? Did he know people's thoughts? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember? Thy sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees goes, he blasphemes. And Yehoshua, knowing their thoughts, goes, is this a problem?
Yeah.
That caused a problem? He picked a fight. Yeah. Here's Peter sitting there going, he's back. I can't do it, man. Can't do it. You remember Peter? I imagine him sitting down there and Jesus Christ grabs a stick, starts breaking it. Hey, man, you remember what it felt like to walk on that water? Oh, man, that was great. Yeah, I remember going to sleep that night, Peter. You were all wet. I was wet because of you. And I looked over at you by the fire, and you had to have a blanket because you're still cold from walking on the water, Peter. Everybody else was hot, but you were still cold. How did it feel to be the only person that was wet after that? Man, that was pretty cool. What was that like? Remember when I got to have dinner at your mother-in-law's house? Remember that, Peter? Remember her getting healed? She got right back to work. That's a good mother-in-law. I know a lot of mother-in-laws wouldn't have done that. And you hear this little conversation, Yehoshua calling him back. And he does the same thing with us. We just sit there, and he'll sit there. What does he do? He goes, what did you do? How about that? Remember that time you led that person in to speak in tongues? Yeah. I do remember that. Or you did this? You just sit there and go, okay. You ready to get to work? Let's get to work. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 33, you read it, you think, Paul goes, I was beaten 39 times, 3 times, I've been snake bit, I've been stoned. Here's, Paul goes through all the things that Paul's been through. He's been through everything. You just go ahead and read it. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 33. Everybody should read that time. Read it out loud. You get done, you say, what's your excuse? Did Paul quit? You've been through a hard time because somebody called you an antichrist? They called you a Jehovah Witness or something? Oh! That's a compliment. Jehovah Witnesses are pretty tough people. But anyways, you're going to go, what did the Apostle Paul, what did he want at the end of all that? I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. What did Moses want? Show me your glory. Now, these are our leaders. These are the tough leaders. Focusing on the glory that's set before you. And we look back and we look at, here's Peter, going back to Peter's life. Here's the 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 23 is all that Paul's calling through. This horrible life. 2 Timothy 4, 18 says Paul dies a happy life, though. How does Paul die? He retires in a happy life. So that's 2 Timothy 4, 18. Philippians 4:10 says Paul was comparing himself to Christ. What was his big reward? I want to know what Christ and the fellowship is suffering. What is Christ going to get in the resurrection? Sit at the right hand, man. This last bit of vapor. Then we look at the neat thing of looking at Peter's life and about his gift, his words in his mouth. And I think about that on the day of Pentecost. They're sitting in the room with the same people that crucified Jesus Christ. Here's the Jews with Jesus' mom. They start speaking in tongues, they're obedient, and they start getting mocked. Who spoke up?
Peter
did. And I believe right then and there, it was like Genesis 22:12. What happened on Genesis 22:12? Abraham has a knife getting ready to slay Isaac in the hope of a resurrection. And Yahweh goes, now I know. Passed the test. Abraham did. And I believe right there, Peter stands up and he speaks. And this time it's a little bit different. Who's inside of him? Christ is inside of him. And he speaks. Boom! You slayed the Messiah. You murdered him. You did it. We waited for him for 3,000 years or whatnot. And here it is. You murdered him. And you know what? He was ready to die again. What happens? 3,000 people get cloned as a part of the body of Christ. And if Peter would have stopped right then and there, I would have been impressed. But he didn't. Because he was comparing himself to Christ. And he opens his mouth again. And who opens his mouth at the gate beautiful? Peter. Okay, so we'll take a lesson of Peter's life. We're going to go, okay, there's ups, there's downs, there's ups and downs. But looking at Christ inside you, you're going to go, okay. It's not about them. It's not about them. He knows you're going to make mistakes. Yahweh put Peter's life and David's life and these people and their ups and downs so we can relate to it. You're going to go, quit looking. It's just like your past, your prophecy. Yeah. Don't look at your past. And don't quit looking so far into the future in this life. You're going to look into the future. Look at the resurrection. You want to be concerned about the future? Your rewards at the Bema. Kneel down and go, here's what you're going to get for obedience. I do that when I wake up in the morning or whenever I have a thought come through, a sinful thought, the lust of the flesh. I go, there will be no reward for any act of disobedience. I will regret every act of disobedience when I go before Christ. But every act of obedience is cha-ching. And you tell yourself that. If you look at the future, that's what you look at. Stir up your gift. There's only one Donna Saunders on this entire planet. There's only one Israel Cunningham. There's only one Tim. There is no other Melania or Esther. There's no Elijah. There is no Isaiah. You're the only one he got. And just as he singled out Peter, he's singling you and I out every single day. Going, come on. Come on. And a lot of these days we miss it. We just kind of pass up. But what's he do the next day? Come on. You haven't given up on me? No. And I'm not going to give up on you. Because to give up on you is to give up on me. Because I'm inside you. Come on. So Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you that our future is worth every act of obedience. We thank you for the believers here. We thank you for Telios Ministries. And if you want to download a free World's Most Accurate Bible, www.teliosministries.com. You can download a free Bible. And we thank you for the words we're about to read here. Do not be fearful and separate yourself from fear. Separate yourself from this flesh. Separate yourself from the distractions of this life. The pleasures of this life are gone. They're but a vapor. They will rot and disappear. But my inheritance will last age abiding. Look into my eyes every single day. Let everything else fade away and imagine yourself kneeling before my throne. What will that great day be like? What will happen when your gifts and your inheritance pass through the fire? The applause of everybody seeing, everybody watching, getting to see what you did. What will that day be like? And understand that I think things on the long term, and I give you lots of opportunities because I do love you. But I do ask you to grow more and more discipline. This life is so short. Don't go backwards. One step at a time. One step at a time. And do it one step at a time. And we'll conquer these things together. And one day, you'll be so thankful for every act of obedience. Not one single act of obedience will you ever regret at the resurrection.
Hallelujah.